Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can like us on Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. With me this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great today, son.
Great, great, great. So let's talk about the week that was week six in the NFL. I would like to think that it was a pretty interesting weekend. First, it started off with the Broncos losing in San Diego. San Diego looking pretty good in their uniforms and against a good defense.
And they broke a streak that Denver had going, something like 15 divisional games, road games they had won.
Yeah. And then I think there was also a losing streak against the NFC West that or AFC West that the Chargers had been on.
Like some... Right. So they were looked like in opposite directions, and they flipped it.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So that happened. The Cowboys cemented their stake as probably the best team in the NFC right now.
They dismantled the Packers
in Green Bay, which is not the easiest thing to do. Very surprising that the Dolphins at home beat the Steelers, but by such a wide margin, 30-15. Roethlisberger goes down with a torn meniscus in his knee, so he'll be out. The Steelers say not very long, but, I mean, the man still has to have surgery on his knee. That's not exactly a one-week procedure.
No, that's 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz is starting to look human. The Redskins beat Eagles 27-20.
And the amazing part of that game, I think the Eagles had a kickoff return for a touchdown and a pick six.
Yeah, I mean, over the last...
And to do that and lose, I don't know what the stats are on that, but it's got to be in the high 90s.
Well, wasn't it this has to be like the third consecutive season where the Eagles have had a game like that, where a offense, defense, and special teams all contribute a touchdown. Because there was that game. There was that game last year against the Patriots where they had like something crazy like that. And then early in the season, either last year or the year before, there was a blocked punt returned for a touchdown, a kickoff returned for a touchdown, and then like an interception returned for a touchdown. Something crazy like that.
Right, and the team lost.
No, the Eagles won in all those situations, but this is one where they lost.
Right. At one point, it's odd.
It is odd. At one point, the score was 14-14, and Kirk Cousins was responsible for three of those touchdowns, a pick six, and two touchdowns.
Right.
The Bills continue their hot streak, 45-16 over the Niners.
What a big change from when the Jets beat them in Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, now look, it's completely the opposite. But, you know, are the Bills for real? Are they a pretender, contender? Are they like the Redskins?
It'll be interesting. I mean, there's a second life, and there's one thing Rex can do. He can, our back is against the wall, gentlemen. Let's fight. Like, they will scrap out of a bad situation.
Yeah. And it looked to me like it was Shady McCoy that made that game.
Yeah, although, you know, we'll get to week seven, but it doesn't look good for McCoy right now. So Colin Kaepernick, big news, he started that game. They restructured the contract. We talked about how the reason he wasn't starting was because he was guaranteed something like 14 or $16 million, and they didn't want to pay that. So they restructured his contract, and he started. Look, depending on how you feel about Colin Kaepernick, either side in this case actually wins. What they wanted. If you are in support of Colin Kaepernick, you can look at the game and say, he ran really well, he didn't throw any interceptions, he didn't throw any touchdowns either, but he played really well. And if you don't like Colin Kaepernick, you can point to the final score and say, ha ha, you lose. So,
Well, I mean, what I always thought about Kaepernick was he was a wild high pitcher.
And that's interesting because he was, I think he was drafted, much like Russell Wilson, he was drafted in the MLB draft as a pitcher, too, yeah, I think.
But the huge difference is Russell Wilson was a second baseman, and you can see that in his footwork.
That is very true. Good point. Let's see. The Seahawks, some say, stole a victory against the Atlanta Falcons with a last-second uncalled pass interference on Julio Jones to preserve the 26-24 score in Seattle. I thought that was definitely a pass interference that did not get called
right
at the end of the game. Because you can't.
Well, if we complain about penalties that aren't called, I mean, you know, that's a long list.
Right, but there are ones that like that should have been called, and then there are blatant ones. I mean, Dan Quinn, rightly so, you know, got upset at it. But you know, you can get upset all you want, and they're not going to overturn it.
Well, the league. I mean, I think this way: the ratings are down. The league wants scoring, and they've been attempting many different ways to do that.
Yes.
And you know, I think that's the result of it.
That's very true.
That they want to advance that ball.
Yeah. A sad, sad day for the Colts. Just what I termed of just two blind people fighting each other. The Colts and the Texans in a Sunday night game that everybody was not interested in. Colts led, and then the Texans in Houston came back and won in overtime, 26-23. Just another kick in the gut for the Colts as they try to get through this really bad season for them.
Well, I mean, what are you going to blame? The draft? I mean, are they going to give this guy any help? Can they get a defense? Can they hold on to a lead? I mean, they got a host of problems there.
Well, they got to make sure they need to keep Luck up. I mean, they need to work on that offensive line.
Well, it looked like the coach and the team were going to separate, and then they came back, and you know, these trial separations don't seem to work out well anyway.
Very true. Very true. And then just as pretty much most people thought, the Jets got embarrassed on national television Monday night, 28-3, all done pretty much by David Johnson. I believe he scored all four touchdowns. Just bad look. And Fitzpatrick got pulled. He got pulled right in the game, and it's Geno Smith time. So, you know, that's...
Because the real guy's not ready.
Who is Petty or Hackenberg, you think?
Hackenberg.
I'm still holding out for Petty. I'd like to at least see him go down in flames before I'm totally set with Hackenberg. But, yeah, Fitzpatrick.
You know, I've noticed that the press doesn't criticize Todd Bowles that much.
Well,
you know, he's a likable guy, but, you know, when things don't go well, you know, you don't look good.
I mean, every press conference with him is he has this forced smile, this almost pensive look on his face as he just kind of shakes his head like, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know,
yeah.
I don't know.
So it looks more like a ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah. I tell you what, this franchise goes back and forth between crazy, wild head coaches and then almost emotionless coaches, and then goes back to the crazy outspoken, and then back down to
While all that's happening, I don't really ever remember them having home field advantage.
No.
Like every day is an away game with them.
I suppose. But I don't really put much stock into how much signage is around. If you're a passionate fan, and, you know, I mean, as we've talked about this, both the Giants and the Jets had waiting lists at one point. You know, I've heard this discussion come up how MetLife Stadium is very bland.
It is.
I can understand that when you look at something like Seattle, where they architecturally designed it so it holds in the noise.
But you know, it costs the same amount as Jerry's World.
Yeah,
and the material was the same. It's a labor cost.
Yeah.
So it shows you what you can build where in the country and for how much.
That's very true.
Yeah, it's very vanilla.
It is, but I don't put much stock into that unless it's something where, oh, it holds in the noise, or, oh, like at the old Giants Stadium where it had the wind tunnel at the end of the...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, they had all that stuff. So that I can understand, but not this other stuff.
Well, they built it for the boxes because the other ones they had to add them on.
Yeah, and the...
Wasn't in the original design, so everything changed. But more interestingly is when they play the Ravens this week, right?
Yes.
And they could very well have both backups.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's move on to week 7 of the NFL. You mentioned the Jets and the Ravens. The Ravens, it looks as though Joe Flacco will not be starting the game. He's in danger of missing that. And, of course, as we talked about, Geno Smith starting. So,
Yeah,
so that'll be interesting. And
so another star goes down.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then I think that game is... Where's that game going to be played? That game will be in... I'm going to find it in just a second for you. It's going to be in... Yeah, but it's going to be against the Ravens in MetLife Stadium. So the Ravens have back-to-back games in East Rutherford, New Jersey, which will be interesting and really put to test that that home field advantage stuff. So... the week starts off with the Packers and the Bears, which are currently playing, and as you mentioned, a lot of interesting things going on in that game. So James Starks is out, Eddie Lacy's out, he's going on IR. They traded for Nile Davis, and yet they're starting wide receivers at running back, Ty Montgomery being the main guy there.
You gotta know the playbook, right?
Yeah, true.
And running backs aren't known to be the most studious.
No, but, you know,
instinctive.
Nile Davis is pretty downhill, though. It really should be, all right.
Well, the biggest story in this game is Hoyer went down. It looks like a shoulder, the way they were holding him. He didn't have a cast on his arm, so it was not like it was something broken.
And Jay Cutler is out for...
he's the injured thumb, allegedly.
Alleged.
They say he may never play as a Bear again, but that's a real dilemma because of the, you know, the contract and who wants him.
Yeah, that's true. He's
a gunslinger.
He is, but at some point you run out of bullets. What are your best bets for the week?
Well, I like the Buccaneers. I'm loving that running back. What the heck's his
Doug Martin? Are you speaking of Muscle?
No. Doug Martin. What's his nickname?
Muscle Hamster.
Yeah, Muscle Hamster. Well, this guy's a squirrel. He gets lowered to the ground, and he's fun to watch.
Charles Sims? Are you talking about Charles Sims?
I guess that's who it is, whoever the backup is.
It's either him or Jacquez Rogers.
They're both small, short, right? And they get so low to the ground. It's just amazing how this guy's fun to watch.
Yeah. So the Buccaneers,
you know, can they take the pounding? But meanwhile, it's fun to watch.
Yeah. So you like the Buccaneers? They're giving 1.5.
Right to the Niners.
Yes.
Chip Kelly's a bust, you know, and his style it rubs the wrong way on the players. And hey, their talent's depleted to begin with.
Right. I noticed
the Bucs are young.
They are, and Jameis Winston needs to write that ship, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good time to do it.
Right. So you like the Buccaneers? Anybody else?
Well, I like the Patriots.
Big
Ben, because the quarterback I saw in the preseason was a nightmare for Pittsburgh.
Landry Jones. He's only started two games, and he started two games last season when they had all their injuries, and he went 1-1. And right. I think he's 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, I think, was his stats. So, yeah, the Patriots on the road giving 7.5. I would have to agree with that pick.
Right.
So that's a good one, too. I noticed something. I noticed a trend. Since week one up until last week, there was no less than 6 road teams winning. six. 1 week there were seven, but for the majority there were six. Last week only had three road teams winning. I think that that was the anomaly. I think it's going to be something similar to those first couple weeks this week. And as I look at the favorites, I see one, two, three, four, five. I see five road teams favored. So
it's always a dangerous proposition.
Yeah. And I can understand that, but I have a feeling something about that might be the likelihood, at least this week.
And who's the home team in London?
I believe the Rams are the home team.
Okay.
I believe so. Because they're not going to – they would never, ever, ever take away a home game from either New York team.
Right.
Yeah, like that – like the NFL will not take a home game away from either New York team, the Patriots, the Cowboys, probably the Raiders. They'll never take a home game away from the Raiders. The Packers, they'll never take a home game away from. So those other ones. Yeah, especially if you're playing in the Los Angeles Coliseum where the first Super Bowl was held, yet you can take all the home games you want away from there. So that was something. Yes, that was something I noticed. Let's move over to baseball. We already have one participant for the World Series in the Cleveland Indians, who I think are this year's New York Mets, doing it with mainly bullpen pitching and very timely hitting. Have made their way to the first World Series since 1997, hoping to break their own personal curse. No World Series victories since 1948.
I really hope it comes out to them.
That'd be great. I mean, the story of Believeland, Cleveland. And somebody brought up a good point. The banner raising for the Cavs for winning the NBA championship is the same night as Game 1 of the World Series.
Wow.
So that would be an interesting. What are you going to do? You know, which is the more. I mean, that's going to be a big, big night because Cleveland also, for the first time in their history, host Game 1 of the World Series. All the other World Series, they've been on the road.
Right. But just the Cubs and the Indians, I mean, it's just too good to be true. Get some fresh blood. It's really great. It's great for the game.
Yeah, fresh blood, and you'd have a break of – somebody's got to break a curse, I guess. Speaking of the Cubs, who pretty much walked into the NLCS, and the Dodgers, who made who finished off the Nationals in Game 5 with Clayton Kershaw coming back. We talked about that. Right now it's tied two games apiece.
Right.
You know, the advantage of Chicago at home was taken away with Kershaw winning 1-0 in Chicago. And at one point, the Cubs hadn't scored a run in 21 innings. By the way, this was the team this year who had the greatest run differential in baseball.
Right.
So 21 innings.
Things tighten up in the playoffs.
Yeah, they really do. And some of their big hitters were really not coming through. And it's currently Game 5 as we're keeping track. It's the bottom of the fourth, I believe. It's 1-0 Cubs. And John Lester's right on the mound, and they've been really, because he does not like to field his position. He doesn't like to throw over to first base, so, you know, they've been trying to drop down bunts. They've been taking, like, almost 18-feet leads. Just crazy stuff to throw him off balance, and, you know, the Dodgers have been, they're already into their bullpen. You might have heard the stat, the Dodgers have the most pitching changes in a season by a franchise. And
really? So that's more than Captain Hook for the Reds.
Yeah, much more than that. So that's happening. So we'll wait to see who faces the Indians. But I often worry, you know, who gets the advantage, the team that has the extra rest before the World Series or the ones that play to the end? And I have a feeling it's the ones that pretty much play the longer league championship series because they're fighting and you know they're trying to get in there sooner. So
well, hey, it's all about momentum.
It's true. That's very true. And right now, one of these two NL teams has to have the advantage to do that. So
yeah, but you know, I can root for the Indians.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it before. I was a big fan of
this is David and Goliath.
For sure.
I mean, everybody had them picked for the World Series, the Cubs.
Yeah, which
and they were their favorite.
It is, and it feels just it doesn't feel right. Like
but
when
they should be a favorite. You're right.
Well, here's my. I've been posing this question to several people. What's more interesting? What's the most interesting storyline? The Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs make it to the World Series but lose, and the Cubs lose in the NLCS. Most people have said the more interesting story is the Cubs winning the World Series, but I point to the Red Sox. And ever since the Red Sox broke the curse, now that granted they've won, I think, 3 World Series in the last 12 years, but ever since they've won the World Series, the mystique is gone from the Red Sox. There was something really interesting about it, especially now when everything is so statistical in baseball. And it's the only sport that can you can really point to statistics and make predictions off of that. So in right. something so cold, hard, and science, to have something almost mystical still exist gives it that flair, that allure that baseball fans love about it. And so for a curse like the Cubs to be broken, where they're the favorites going in and that everybody has them marching right through with no more than 3 losses the entire postseason, doesn't...
Yeah, but it's great drama because much is expected, so that means it's more deflated if they lose. It's a great story either way.
I guess I'm just looking, and I look at the Red Sox, and whenever they fail, it's yeah. just, you know, jerks, not like, there's something really interesting in just being so held down by this kismet, by just this otherworldly thing you cannot do or cannot, you know, tangibly talk about. And to break the curse in a really interesting way, the way the Red Sox did against the Yankees. Like, honestly, the way that the Cubs really should be breaking the curse is against the Cardinals in the NLCS, not the Dodgers. So,
right.
And, you know, the Yankees should be waiting for them.
So you want a torch pass.
Yeah, I mean, it's just right. And especially, this is the second year in a row where the Cubs were favored. Even as a wild card team last year, they were favored to make it to the World Series over the Mets. And the Mets steamrolled them. And this year, everybody's expecting the Cubs to steamroll the Dodgers. But here we are in Game 5, and it's still a toss-up.
It's exciting.
It is. It's very exciting. So, it's just one
Go
of those
Indians.
That's what I think so. I'm in for Believe.
No, before they change their name.
Well, that's a big part of it too. There was actually because in Canada, I forget their name. First People, one of their First People Nations, tried to sue or put a legal block on the Indians using their name in Canada. You know, Canadian laws right. is different than American right. law. And the Canadian judge basically said, look, they've been using it for 100 years. You know,
right.
you can't have this for like 3 days. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, to be fair, the Indians have been called many different things. The Naps, the Spiders, throughout their history. So, you know, they'll probably get rid of the mascot first. I mean, they've been slowly doing that. The only time you see Chief Wahoo is on their arm patch and sometimes on the hat, but they've been going with the C
yeah.
on the head. So
it'll all fade into black.
Well, yeah, especially with those uniforms with the navy blue. I'm not too big fan. I like the white and the red, but that's just me.
Yeah, you're a traditionalist.
Oh, I try to be.
Yep. Hey, I wanted to mention. I forgot a couple. There's two great matchups, I think, with Sam Bradford coming back to the Eagles.
Oh, yes. That's a big
right?
game this week.
Wentz is the highly touted rookie. And
yes.
you also got Osweiler going back into Denver.
Yeah, that one's interesting, although everybody's telling everybody that the Broncos don't care that Osweiler's coming back. Like, it's
everybody cares.
True. Well, that's a good point.
You know, when you're rushing to pass her, yeah. Why not? Right? Because you left for the money, right? You just bailed, right?
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then you imagine the Philly fans with Bradford coming back. I can't see them cheering for him. I mean, this. I mean, they didn't even give McNabb a decent response.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Bradford is coming back to Wentzylvania, as they call it.
Yeah, no talk about that in the last 2 weeks.
No, because he's human. And I said around, I think I said like week six. I might have been like a week off. But
It takes 4 weeks at least to get a book on you.
Well, that's why I have you on the show, so you can be more right than I can be.
who knows? But without receivers, you know, I feel sorry for the guy.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. And no running back either, so.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Dad. I'd like to give a shout-out to Alex, our now British correspondent. We'll have him back pretty soon, giving maybe some soccer.
We miss you, Alex.
That's right. We do miss you a lot. Another shout-out to our new listener, Rich. Rich, nice to hear from you again. So, all right, Dad. Well, thanks very much for coming on this week.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks very much. Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.